Good morning. I just have to say, in the spirit of Thanksgiving, parents, trust your children every single second to the Lord. No matter what's going on, no matter how old they are or how young they are, every single second, trust them to the Lord. I'm so thankful to the Lord for my boys and for where he brought them, all he brought them through, and for where they are now. And they're growing and learning still. And the other thing, I'm so blessed today. For those that don't know, my younger son has lived in Russia for 4 years as a missionary, and then Ukraine for 3 years. And they're home at the moment for this year. And so I have my four grandkids with me today. That you normally see Jason every Sunday, but the other four are here with me today. They live up by Ithaca, New York, for this year. So I get to go up there, and it's closer than going to Ukraine or Russia, but I'm glad they're down here this weekend, so get to know them a little bit. And we've been a lot of learning and growing, and it's awesome. God is so awesome. This is the greatest commandment. So, man, that must be really important. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer. He asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. I love the way Jesus answers, and he mystifies us, doesn't he? He is so big and so much in control and so powerful and so loving and so wonderful that we don't have any other answers sometimes. Any other questions?
Yeah, thank you, Pat. What is the most important subject in all of the world? The most important subject in all of the world. It is not health. I've probably heard that many, many times. If you've got your health, you've got everything. But that is not true. It's your family. Family's everything. Nope, it's not family. Wealth. Certainly not wealth. It is God. It is God. Yes, it's God. It's Jesus, God in the flesh. So when I talk about God this morning, just make the connection. I'm talking about Jesus. The context here in Mark chapter 12 is Jesus answering this seeker's inquiry. And he's a seeker coming, wanting to know certain things. There's a debate had been going on, if you read the previous verses. And he's asking, and he has this inquiry about God. And he asks, what is the most important commandment? And Jesus answers, and in essence he is saying, we must come to God on his terms. Please underscore that. We must come to God on his terms. Meaning, what's important to God? See, if you do not come to God on His terms, it's like taking the wrong elevator to the wrong floor in the wrong building. And where do you end up? In the wrong place. And Jesus' answer in this Mark passage that is so well known focuses on one word, and the word is love. God's terms. Love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind and all of your strength, and then love your neighbor as you would love yourself. In sharing this commandment about love, Jesus reverts back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, where it's the Shema prayer. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The God of Israel, the God of the Bible. He is the one and only God. And then he goes into this, the greatest commandment. Loving God with all of our heart. Meaning that he is the object of our love. He is the choice of our love. He's the very affections of our love. Love the Lord your God with all of your soul. Meaning, I love God. I love God regardless of what others might do with God or what others might do to me. I love God regardless of what he would permit to come into my life. Then I would love God with all of our mind, which is what I'm going to address this morning. In the fourth area, which we're not going to talk about, to love God with all of our strength, every fiber of our being, who I am, what I'm all about, my whole life, my whole purpose in life. But this morning I want to focus on the third area, and that is to love God with our mind. Loving God with our mind. What I want to do is to present three definitions for the word mind that will help us unpack this phrase, to love God, to love Jesus with all of our mind. Three definitions that will help us really grasp this and apply it in our personal lives, because it is important to God. It's important to Jesus. The first definition that I believe we can relate to this matter of loving God with our mind is our intellect. Intellect. If we want to love God with our minds, it will mean loving Him with our intellect, with our ability to reason, our ability to acquire knowledge. Let me repeat that, because a few of you, it might just kind of go over your head, or you're thinking about lunch or something. So I need to repeat this. If you want to love God with your mind, that's going to mean loving Him with your intellect. It's going to mean loving Him with this ability to reason. It's going to love Him with this ability to acquire knowledge. And don't think that that's not biblical. It is quite biblical. Isn't it amazing that God has chosen to reveal Himself through a living person, Jesus, and a living book, the Bible? God has created us with the mental mind capability, capacity to know Him. That involves knowledge. That involves data. But it's not limited to just knowledge or data alone. It's not simply a one-time know-it-all answer or experience. This is something that involves knowing Him in terms of a relationship. Knowing God is acquiring information and knowledge and data about God that we would want to know Him, and all the data and the knowledge and the ability to acquire knowledge and the ability to reason more and more. That's God's will. He wants that to happen. And that certainly involves study. It involves reading. It involves sitting down and maybe even philosophically talking about reason and logic. And that is not bad. It's talking about theology and it's talking about doctrine. But loving God with my mind is saying, God, I want to know You. I want to know You. I mean, God, I really want to know You. Not just data about You. And I'm not putting down the data. I think I've just underscored how important that is. It's not putting down the data and the knowledge and the reasoning and the logic and all of that. There's a very important place for that. But I want to know You. I want to understand this personal relationship with you. And using Old Testament language like King David did in the Psalms, he says, I want to know you and I want to seek you face to face. Face to face. Now, I don't know about you, but I know when my kids were young, and maybe even some of my grandkids, but definitely my kids did this. Now, I know none of you parents were like me, and your kids are talking to you, and you're kind of talking to your spouse, or you're watching TV, or you're reading a book, and they go, Dad, I'm talking to you, Dad. Yeah. You know what they would do to me? They come up and grab my face like this and go, whoop, Dad. I want to know you, Dad, and I want you to look at me. I'm talking to you face to face, you know. Do you want to know God face to face? In order to love God with your mind, you want to know him personally, not just somebody way out there. Yes, he is transcendent. But he is imminent. He's right here. He wants you to want to know him. September 23rd, 1965, I made a commitment to love this wonderful woman named Connie. And that involved getting to know her. Yes, that involved information and data about her and her birthday, you know, her favorite color. And I was thinking this morning, who could I put on the spot? I mean, really, like, Dan Murphy hasn't been married long enough. Maybe Larry. Larry Javi. Yeah, Larry's good. He'd been married, what? What's Carolyn's favorite color? Hey, he got, is that right? Yeah. Okay. I could have picked on Paul. He's sitting right behind you, but it would have been cameo, right, Paul? No. But I wanted to know everything about Connie. Man, back when we were dating, you know, I'm walking her home and we're going out somewhere. And then, of course, in 1965, we got married and I really wanted to know her. And that involved intimacy. That involved face-to-face. And I just love looking at her face. Now, don't run downstairs after she's in kids' church and tell her I said that. No, it's okay. You can do that. I love looking at her. I mean, look in her eyes and, you know, I really want to know this woman. Loving God with your mind, our intellect. Yes, it involves data and knowledge and all those kind of wonderful things. But it's knowing him face to face where we look into him and know him and say, I want to know you. Face to face. That you come into that awe of his presence. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom, pending the translation that you use. Amen. It is the foundation, and the word beginning there means foundation. The foundation of knowledge, the foundation of wisdom. Loving God with all of our minds is living in that awe of his glory and his transcendence and his majesty and that relationship that I can have with him, the sovereign creator, Jesus, God in the flesh, that I can actually come in and enjoy him and know him face to face. Amen. And live in that awe. I'm telling you this morning, if you're not there, you're missing it. Don't believe all this nonsense about Christianity. It's just going to church and having communion, you know, and singing a few songs and going home. That is not Christianity. Christianity is knowing Jesus. I mean, knowing him. I mean, looking at him. Not necessarily with our physical eyes, but the eyes of our heart and our spirit. And the awe of that certainly leads to worship. So you cannot love God with your mind and not worship him. I mean, that awe, that transcendence, that unbelievable Shekinah glory, the majesty of his presence, that I live in the awe of him, that seeking him, to love him with all of my mind and my intellect and my reason and my logic and all of that brings me into this unbelievable, awesome relationship that Elohim, Jehovah, Jireh, I can know him. I can know him and I can have this deep fellowship with him. So loving God with our minds means loving him with our intellect. A second definition of the word mind here means our thoughts. I hope you're ready for this one. That if we're going to love God, we're going to love him with our thoughts. Loving God means loving him with our thought life. A thought life that is going to be brought captive to obedience to Jesus Christ. Here's the question today. What dominates your thought life? The pin just dropped. I heard it. What dominates your thought life? Loving God with all of our minds will involve our thought life. It's going to begin to focus on him and what he desires. Now, that doesn't mean that I go around 24/7 thinking of God, God, God. You know, it doesn't mean that. I certainly, if I had to have a tumor removed from my brain, I wouldn't want a brain surgeon going, God, 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 you know. I want him to do his job. You understand the drift here. But our thought life on God will be manifest in many, many ways in our everyday life. Our meditation will be on God. In plain, simple language, do we think about God? Do we think about Jesus? Do we think about his attributes, his divine nature, his personality, where Jesus is Lord? Do we think about Jesus that we're in his presence? I mean, just pause for a moment. Okay, it's Sunday morning, got this guy bringing a sermon, but we're in his presence. We're in his presence. And when we walk out of the building and we get in our cars or we go home and we stop for lunch kind of thing, and my thoughts, I'm in his presence. But on those thoughts then, are they pleasing to him? Are they pleasing to him? Now, I'll confess that I think about Connie. You can tell her that. I think about her. And yes, sometimes sitting in my office and I'm doing sermons and talking to people and getting stuff, you know, administrative stuff. But I think about Connie. I do not sit around thinking about other women. And I'm saying that for a reason. I don't sit around thinking about other women. That would be wrong, right? Now, you know what I mean, thinking about other women. Do we meditate on God? Do we think about Jesus? And are those thoughts in our daily life pleasing to him? The Apostle Paul put it this way in two very powerful passages in the New Testament. One in Romans chapter 8, verse 5. And listen to these words. Those who live in accordance with the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. So that's a test. Driving your car, sitting in your office, sitting at home, watching TV, on the computer, thoughts, right? Thoughts. We live with our thoughts. Are those thoughts what the Holy Spirit desires? Now, obviously, that's going to eliminate a bunch of garbage in my life, right? It will. Because if I let the garbage come in, you know, there was an old phrase back when computers were getting popular, GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. You let the garbage in and somehow you may want to act it out and act upon it and all those kinds of things. So Romans 8:5 is a test of my thoughts, what the Holy Spirit desires. Another powerful verse that Paul uses in this concept, 2 Corinthians 10:5, that I use it all the time. When we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Take captive every thought to make it obedient to Jesus Christ. Now, I have to confess something to you, and I hope you will all understand this. Don't turn me in. 1992, we move here, and I become pastor. The church, we have a computer, and we're, you know, internet and all that. AOL was becoming big time, and go online, and I'm checking my email. Click, you know, and this thing come up with, like, I can't remember the exact title, and I clicked it on. It was something like this: Pretty Brazilian Girls. It wasn't that, but it was like that. I clicked it on. I don't know, you know, what's this on my computer? Well, scanty clad women came up, okay? As Skip would say, scandalously clad women came up. I go, oh my, oh my. Click, boy, that better go. That better delete that one fast. I hope nobody was looking over my shoulder. You know what I mean? Are you tracking with me here? Every thought brought captive to obedience to Jesus. You know, Jesus was sitting right there beside me when I have to confess this. You can tell Connie, I don't watch pornography and have not really watched pornography. You know, there was a time in my life where I viewed some. I'll admit that, okay? But how easy? One little click. And the Holy Spirit goes, every thought captive brought to obedience to Jesus Christ. Click, delete. Now, I'm just using that because that's an easy, visible thing. For somebody else, it might be something else. Some thought that's going to come along. Boy, I wish I could smack somebody in the face. Uh-oh, I've thought that. You know, do you understand what I'm saying? The test. Thought life. If I'm going to love God with my thoughts, are those thoughts pleasing to the Holy Spirit? Are those thoughts that aren't right brought captive and obedient to Jesus Christ? Third definition for the word mind here involves our moral values or our ethical choices. Loving God with our minds means our moral values or those ethical choices that we all make in terms of all of our relationships in life. You study the word mind here in Mark. It was Mark chapter 12. And you will discover that there's a direct relationship to our moral values and our ethical choices that are involved. And yes, that is very simply logical. It's a logical tie here. If we love God or anyone, and I'm this morning using the illustration of my wife Connie, if we love God, if we love Jesus, if we love anyone, we are going to make ethical and moral choices out of a value system that pleases God, that pleases them, and is for, in this case, another person. They're good. They're good. In this case, in this context, here's Jesus saying, love the Lord your God with all of your mind. God sets our moral value standard. God sets the standard for our ethical choices because he is constantly in the process of changing and transforming us into his image, the image of Jesus Christ, in our daily lives. That's God's goal. That he's changing us and he's transforming us into the image of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul again addresses this quite clearly in his theological doctrinal dissertation, if you please, in the book of Romans. Romans 12:2, he says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Powerful verse. Romans 12:2. Loving God with our minds means our moral values, our ethical choices, no longer conform to the pattern of this evil world, but specifically where we're allowing God to transform and change us through our minds, our intellect, our data, our relationship, our awe of him, the ethical choices that we make, that he is actually changing us. And I'm constantly in that process of being changed. Doctrinally, we call that sanctification. I love Connie, my wife. And my relationship to her is definitely affected by the moral values that I live by, the ethical choices that I make. I will make choices that are for her ultimate good and for the good of our marriage, if I really love her. Mind, intellect, and my moral values and my ethical choices. I am not going to make choices, excuse me, that will hurt our marriage and hurt her. Thus, the no-brainer, the easy one to see is, I'm not going to bring anything into my life or into our marriage that's going to affect my marriage in a negative way and affect her in a negative way. I am certainly not going to bring pornography into the relationship. I'm not going to bring other women into the relationship. That's easy to see, right? I'm not going to bring substance abuse into the relationship. I'm not going to bring any addiction into the relationship if I really love her. And that's why I challenge guys, and this is going to be a little wee bit of a rabbit trail, but I have to interject it here. Guys, I'll say, God, you know, he's struggling with his wife or whatever, there's marriage issues. And I'll say, Joe, do you really love Mary? Yeah, I love Mary. I'll take a bullet for Mary, you know. I love her. Well, what in the world are you doing the cocaine for? I'm exaggerating, okay? It could be anything. You don't love her. You love yourself more than you love her. See, that becomes the problem. My father, who I've shared on numerous occasions, till the time I was 15, he was an alcoholic gambler, addicted to both. Never missed a day's work in his life, but we would go hungry and we'd lose houses and lands and cars, and we were in poverty. And he would say that he loved my mother, but he loved himself more than he loved her. Now, on a kind of a little more positive note, about, it'll be 6 years in June. Connie knew I wanted another motorcycle. I'd already had several and still have several. And she knew I wanted this Harley Rocker. If you don't know what a Harley Rocker is, it's just awesome. It's Harley's chopper. You know, wide tire, extended front end, custom paint. And she says, buy it. Go buy it. You can afford it. You know why she could say that very easily? Because she knew that I wouldn't make a financial decision that would hurt her and hurt us. So guess what? I bought it. But she trusted me, see? She knew my decisions, my ethical, moral choices. I could say, I love you, Con, but I'm not going to make a decision that's going to hurt us and it's going to hurt you. And therefore, yeah, I bought a motorcycle, big deal. But I would not have bought it if it would have hurt us. See, we cannot come to God and remain on the status quo of our world's value system. We live in this world. And if living in this world, normal is sick. And you're normal. What does that make you? Sick. Really, if we live in this world and the world is sick, and being normal in the world, and you're normal, sick is normal is sick. So I don't want to be normal in a sick world. I want to be radically different in a sick world. So you cannot remain status quo to the standards and the moral choices and the moral values of this world and say, I love God with my moral values, because he's changing us. That's that fantastic sanctification process of being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ in all of our relationships and all of our understanding. Loving God with my mind goes hand in hand with those moral, ethical choices of a life being transformed. I no longer live for self now. When Connie and I were married, yeah, it's amazing, over 50 years ago, life was not all about me. Even though I would confess, and some of you have probably heard me say this, and Connie knows it, that when we got married in 1965, I was not a Christian. And I lived for me. I lived for me. And choices that I made then was about me. But I'll tell you, even right after I became a Christian, after God found me under my car in Pensacola and spoke to me, and I started reading Scripture, and I had given my life to Jesus Christ, Ephesians just jumped off the page. Wives, be submissive to your husbands. And that's kind of all I saw. But then God began to change me, that life wasn't about me. It was about us. Radically change things in our marriage. Loving God with our mind. That involves our intellect, that I seek to know Him, more and more, and to move in that awe, face-to-face relationship. It involves my thoughts, that I meditate on Him, that my thoughts are governed and guided by what the Holy Spirit wants. And any thought that would be displeasing, it's brought captive to obedience to Jesus Christ. But it also involves my moral values, my ethical choices, my moral base, where I am and how I make those choices. Do you love God with your mind? Do you love God with your mind? I challenge you, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And surrender your mind to Him. Let's stand for prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for your word that's real and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is living, it is alive. Your word is truth. And today, as we leave this building, let us breathe in your presence. Your awesome presence. Walk in your presence, Jesus. We praise you. We feast on your glory and your majesty. It's in your name I pray. Amen.